Welcome to another episode of The Back Porch. It's a little podcast we record here buried deep beneath the sanctuary in a secret bunker far away from, I don't know what we're afraid of, but we're hiding down here anyway. We're glad to be with you wherever you are, whether you're out walking or on a drive, flying on an airplane back from seeing your family or something of that nature. Just thank you for your time. We like to talk about the Bible and then a little nonsense, hopefully in that order, not too much nonsense peppered in, because we do have a serious stick-to-the-issues crowd, so we like to give them fair warning when they can stop listening to this and go back to watching C-SPAN or whatever it is they do with all of their spare time. I'm Grant. I'm a pastor here. I am the pastor of community building, which means just that. How do we find new people and grow our community, interact with the community around us? I'm also, I've deemed myself the pastor of electricity, just because if it involves any electrical outlet in any way, I have something to do with it. I can tell you more about that if you're curious. But before that, I will introduce the other people who are in the room with me. No surprises, my regular co-host, but it's still fun to tell you a little bit about them. Starting with on my left is Reverend Carly Payne, the pastor of discipleship. Discipleship means growing in your faith, better understanding who God is and who you are and how that has an impact on your life. It's really where the rubber hits the road for any religious organization, and so we put our best person on it. Also, Carly is the craft queen.
I think she needs a t-shirt.
Crafting queen. Yeah, other fun activities. And camping. You're really good at a lot of things. It's hard to list them all. And since you just kind of glare at me while I talk about you, then it's kind of hard to keep going and saying nice things. So
that's okay.
Yeah, but I'm really, really glad you're here. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
I'm tired. We were up here last night. Had to get up here early. It's just, which I shouldn't, I'm not complaining. I'm tired. Plus, I've got a little bit more on my plate this week than last week. So got a lot more going on because I'm kind of working two jobs. And what that means is I'm really working just a job and a half and I'm just being mediocre at all of it.
So, that's not true.
It's just sort of what you do when you're running a zone. When you're running a zone defense all by yourself you do everything sort of okay. But I'm glad you're okay. Glad you're doing good. And I dig that jean jacket. It looks cool and very stylish. All right, next person who is not that I know anything about that, but I'm just guessing it's stylish, right? Next person up is Reverend Alan Lutz, the pastor of missions as well as family ministries. He's a chef, news reporter, recruiter, excellent speaker, preacher, all the things above, plus a great friend, father, figure, all that you can imagine. He's got his Saints fishing shirt on today. Are y'all fishing for a new quarterback?
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
My son thinks so.
Yeah? Okay.
Well, we got a thing, but we're not going to turn this into the sports radio hour, but we got two good candidates down there with Hill and Winston. We'll see who wins.
All right. Well, good luck to the Saints. How are you doing?
I'm great. I got some new Columbia shoes, so I'm rocking,
nice. Mission
rocking
trip
my new
shoes.
Yeah, mission trip shoes, walking shoes, hiking shoes.
Yeah, that's the kind I wear. Yeah.
Well, how about
for
that?
For real, I'm wearing them
I didn't
right
do
now.
That on purpose.
Yeah. Check it out.
That's fun.
How about?
It's not easy for me to get my foot up that high. Bad decisions.
You need to recover?
Yeah, probably.
You need a moment?
Yeah. So glad you're doing well. Glad you have new shoes.
Yeah.
I also really like that you pointed out your new shoes on a podcast.
Yep.
That's
see?
That's pretty interesting.
All you listeners, see? Can't you see my new shoes?
Well, actually, let's talk about that during the nonsense portion.
Okay.
Because I really like these and I want to explain why.
Okay.
But before we do that, the absolute host of the podcast, as well as everything that she bothers to grace with her presence, including the endowment legacy dinner last night.
That makes me sound so snooty.
I let people just sort out whether or not you're snooty whenever they meet you.
Hopefully they think I'm not.
The one and only Monica Lackey, Director of Families with Small Children. How are you today?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah? Yeah. Pretty good?
Mm-hmm. I'm tired.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because were you up here late?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was fun. It was good to see lots of people last night. Did we tell you what we did last night? We had the legacy dinner for the endowment fund last night. And so there was a whole bunch of people here in the new Family Life Center floor. And like, it was so fun. There was like tablecloths and cloth napkins and three forks. And like, I don't eat like that. So that was like, that was really fun.
Three forks. It was fun.
I do know what fork to use. I just don't do it often. So it was fun. And it was fun to see a lot of people that I haven't gotten to like see in a while. So
yeah,
it was fun, but it was.
And you spoke. Did you mention that?
No, I did not, but I did speak.
Yeah. I thought you did a great job.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I did not think that.
Why is that?
Because, okay, so I had written out everything I was going to say, and I said it when we did like a Zoom endowment fund meeting a couple months ago. But like when you're reading something on Zoom, you can put it on the screen. So it looks like you're just looking at people and talking, like you just are just really good at talking. I'm not. And so I was totally reading it. I can just read in like a conversational voice because I read to kids a lot. But anyway, so then last night I was like, well, I'm like looking at all these people. So at the last second, I decided I'm not going to read this because like I don't want to read two pages of information. Like that's not fun to listen to for me staring at the podium. So I just kind of tried to wing it.
I thought you did
well. I thought you did great.
That was winging it. That's impressive.
It was real.
Yeah.
Weird, but
no.
Thanks.
That's really good. And we all do public speaking, plus we're not nice enough to lie.
That's
so
true.
Yeah. Even when we have friends listening in on the other side of these microphones, we still aren't that nice of people. Mm-hmm. So you must have really done great. All right. One of the things we like to do in here is talk about the Bible. And what we do is we're aware that you are too busy living your life while you're listening to us to be taking notes or have your Bible open, so we try to keep it at a level where we just talk about the major characters and themes and give you something to think about so that you can go back and look it up for yourself or start a conversation with someone else. And we have started talking about the scripture that's going to be covered in the upcoming worship service to give a little bit of extra information, have just another conversation around it. So we will continue that tradition. If you have thoughts, comments, questions, or suggestions of what you would like for us to talk about instead, please email us, call us, talk to us on a Sunday morning, which would be great. It's this new thing we're trying out. All right. This week we are in the Gospel of John. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, just to help you out there. And this is chapter 21. It's the last chapter of the Gospel of John, and it is, I think it's one of my favorite stories. I always say that about a lot of things. I really like the Bible, but this is a really cool story where Jesus has been killed, resurrected, appeared to the disciples, but even still, as they're trying to figure out what's next, Peter turns to the rest of the disciples and says, this is Grant paraphrase, I don't know about you fellows, but I'm going to go fishing. Which means he was going to go back to his previous profession, the life that he knew, his comfort zone. And the disciples go out. They go out on a boat. They go fishing all night, and they catch nothing. And the next morning, they've got empty nets. They're exhausted and still, I think, suffering from a lot of stress from all the events. I'm just imagining but all the stress that they've had. And there's this dude on the shore saying, hey, did you guys catch anything? Well, no. What, did you try throwing the nets on the other side? I think if you do that, you'll catch some fish. And I just assume they kind of mumble to themselves. I think there's some foul language perhaps being muttered quietly on this little boat. But for lack of anything better to do with their time, they try it. And as they're hauling in the net, they can't actually get all the fish in the boat. They're just struggling because the net is so full. And then they look up and they realize that that's actually Jesus there on the shore. That's Jesus is the one telling them. Peter puts his clothes on. It implies he was fishing in just his loincloth. But I still think it's funny that he put clothes on and then jumped in the water, whereas we would probably recommend doing the opposite. But that's what he does. Swims to shore to see Jesus. And Jesus is waiting there with breakfast already cooked for them. Which, I don't know, I always love that part of it. But we're actually preaching, or Alan is actually preaching on kind of what happens next, which is just a one-on-one between Jesus and Peter. And I'll stop narrating right there and say, do you want to describe, who wants to set the scene for the actual scripture that's being preached?
I can.
Go for it.
So it's over breakfast, which is one of my favorite parts, right?
I mean,
some of the most important things that Jesus did was over a meal. That's why it's so important to me, the leveling and connecting power of the table. But, you know, basically he kind of, you know, it's one of those things that if you've ever regretted not saying something or saying something and wishing you had a second chance,
this is every day.
This is Peter's second chance. You know, there's like if you've lost someone and you wish you had said something, or if you've lost a relationship because of something you said. And so, you know, rewind a few chapters back and Jesus has been arrested and Peter's, you know, asked, do you know that guy? And he says three times, no, I don't. And of course, Jesus had already foretold that and said, hey, look, one of you at this table is going to deny me. And Peter was like, no, not me. I'm your number one guy. Like, I'm the rock. I'm the one that you've given all this to. And so he did it anyway. He denied him and said he didn't know him. And I don't blame him. He was terrified. So this is the chance. And that's why he asks three times in this scripture. They're eating breakfast and he's like, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yeah, I do. Of course, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep. And he does that three times. And giving Peter a chance to erase his past, erase his mistakes, start over again. And it's that redemptive quality of that conversation that is just so powerful to me anyway. It's like, look, man, I knew you're going to do that. You're human. You're broken. It's no big deal. Don't worry about it. I'm okay with that. But if you love me, because I know you do, then do something about it. Take care of this flock that I'm leaving you. I'm empowering you. I'm ordaining you to do all of this, to take care, because you've caught all the fish, right? Now that you've caught them, what happens? Well, they become sheep. And so you change from a fisherman to a shepherd. So take care of them. That's the basic summary of it.
I like that. Now we turn to Carly. What are your thoughts on this passage? Reflections? Insight?
Well, my immediate thought brings me back to a sermon that I heard in high school where it was about this scripture and the power of a meal and how Jesus was cooking breakfast for them. And during the sermon, the pastor had these pressure cookers full of fish sticks. And so by the time the sermon was over...
You have my attention.
By the time the sermon was over, the whole new sanctuary smelled like fish sticks. And then we all, like, got up and ate a piece of fish. I don't know. It stuck with me. It sticks with me, but I also find this challenging. I like how you put it in context, Alan, of the second chance that Peter has to redeem himself. And I've heard, you know, Jesus asks this question three times and Peter denied him three times. And so it's this kind of redemption in that. And I think feed my sheep, if we translate this to Jesus talking to us, which sometimes that's helpful to do, sometimes it's not. But if we translate this to Jesus talking to us, what does it mean to feed my sheep? What does that look like in my own life? So that's what I'm thinking about.
Hmm. Keep thinking about it because I've got to write a sermon. So I'd like to. I'm interested okay. in your thoughts before we get done here.
Well, this
I'd like
is to the hear best place to get good material.
By the way.
I'm pretty sure I plagiarized all of you on Sunday.
Hardcore. I did the same thing.
I will do the same thing this Sunday.
So, Monica, do you have wisdom for us?
I don't think so, but I have things that I think about when I read it. Like, I think about it, like, I don't know, a little bit differently. When I hear Jesus asking, like, Simon, or whatever your name is, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, you know that I love you. He says it every time. You know that I love you, at least in my translation. Mm-hmm. And I, when I picture it in my mind, I picture, like, I hear Peter saying it with, like, a question mark at the end. Like, because I feel like if I was him, which I feel like I've been in this situation plenty of times where I feel like I'm following Jesus and I feel like I love Jesus and I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And then all of a sudden I look up and I'm like, oh no, I'm not. Like, I'm really not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And so then when I come back around and, you know, I feel like that's kind of where Peter's at. Like, he's been going along doing these things, being a disciple, following Jesus, doing all this stuff, being exactly right by his side this whole time. And then all of a sudden he finds himself in a situation where he's flat out saying, I don't even know who that is. Like, I don't even know who that is. And obviously he never thought he would be in that place. He never thought he would say those words. He never thought that that could happen to him. And it did. And so then when Jesus comes back, I feel like if I was Peter, I would feel very, like, tail between my legs-ish, you know, like Jesus saying, like, hey, do you love me? And in my mind, as Peter, I would think the end of Jesus' sentence that he's not saying is, like, because it doesn't feel like you do. Because you didn't show me that you do. Because you did this and this, and that doesn't show me that you love me. And I don't think that was Jesus' intention, but I feel like if I was Peter, that's how I would take it. And so it would be this kind of, like, in front of all the other disciples, like, yeah, Jesus, like, you know that I love you. But there's so much inside his mind that's like, do I? Like, you know if I do or not. Like, do I? Like, what do you think? And I feel like I've been in that place where, and I mean, I work here. I do this, like, all the time. But I feel like we all kind of have these moments where you're like, am I doing this right? Like, I didn't think that I would end up here. I didn't think that this would be coming out of my mouth. And yet here it is. And then you turn around and you're thinking, like, am I doing it right? Am I being honest with myself or other people? Like, I don't know. I just, to me, and so then I feel like Jesus repeats himself to say, like, yeah, I know that you love me. And we're going to repeat that until you get it. Cause I do that with my kid, you know, like, you're okay. You're okay. You're okay. Or like, it's just a dream. It's just a dream. It's just a dream. Or lightning can't hurt you. Thunder can't hurt you. We repeat that over and over and over in hopes that as we repeat it, he'll start to believe that it's true. And so for me, when I read this, I just think, like, Jesus is coming back to Peter, knowing that Peter is hurt in the ways that the other disciples are, but also in another way of what he did and the guilt that he feels. And so I feel like Jesus is coming to him and saying, like, hey, we're going to say this until you believe it. Like, we're going to go over this until you understand that, like, you love me, I love you, we're good, and you have work to do. Like, you have stuff to do, and you can't let guilt hold you back from now on, if that makes sense.
Well, and it says earlier that there's a lot of things that happened with the disciples that isn't recorded in this book. I mean, it makes a point of saying that. And I imagine that he had that conversation with every one of them.
Yeah.
You know,
that's,
like,
a good thought. I like that.
I know that you ran away. And when I read this, I go back to Judas, because, well, I think we've talked about this before. Judas is my favorite disciple, and I can explain over coffee why that's the case. But if Judas had just held off, if he had just powered through his despair and not taken his life, Jesus would have had that conversation with him too, and would have said, I know what you did, but it's okay. It's okay. I love you. You love me. I know that. So let's move on. And I can just imagine what Judas could have done had he not taken the drastic measures that he did. If he just held on.
I think it speaks to the chaos that Monica referred to. I hadn't thought about that before. How much must have been going on in their minds and in their hearts that, you know, sometimes it's easy to say things and you know exactly what you're about and what you believe. And then other times you could get asked the same question and you'd have no idea. And they're in a place where they have no idea. So this is like a reorientation to, okay, what are we about? What are we doing? Like setting them up for the future.
Refocus.
I like that.
So the rest of the story for Peter is, or not all of it, but in the book of Acts, he's the one who's really leading the church boldly. We see him transition from just being the person who puts his foot in his mouth, quick to talk, to being someone who still speaks very boldly. He's still himself, but a little bit more measured and purposeful. Also, we see him as the leader of the church in Rome. He ends up going from Israel all the way to Rome as really the leader of this church there. And he gets put to death by Nero. Like he's one of those who gets executed, martyred for his faith during that time period. Jesus had said to Peter earlier, when he named him Peter, he changed his name from Simon to Peter, and he said, because you're the rock on which I'm going to build my church. And we see that in the book of Acts. Some early believers took that literally, and so the historical spot where they believe he was put to death is where the Vatican is built. So that was the reason for picking where Vatican City is located. So just a little fun fact there for you for the rest of the story of Peter. I do like to look at these individual characters and see who they are and how they respond, because we are individuals called to respond. I don't know, I just really enjoy that part of the process. Is that probably all we have to say about this so far?
I think so.
One other random comment. Esti Valindi, Reverend Esti Valindi, came and she spoke on this scripture in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had a lot of guest speakers come in during that time. And I thought she did a great job.
She did a really good job.
Really talked about, no pressure, Alan. Really yeah, talked about.
Too late. You've already brought up Esti.
The different ways, like if you look at the Greek, the different ways that Jesus is saying, the different words for love that Jesus is saying every time he asks Peter. And really, I'm not going to spell it all out, but implying that Jesus is really saying to Peter, I'm going to meet you where you are. And that's okay, where you are right now. I'm here by the shore of the Sea of Galilee where you went back to your old life. I've got breakfast for you. And I'm meeting you right now, but calling you on to something better. It was a really good moment. It was a great message, and it was well-timed because there was a lot going on in the church. And staff was pretty worn out. Church was a little shell-shocked. Is that a good way to put it?
I think so.
It was a good word. I remember that. Very... very meaningful and fun to get to be in church with Esti, someone I've known for a while. And yeah, we have a lot of other friends who are pastors at other churches. We really don't get to work with them very often, except under extreme circumstances. So, but you know, we enjoy that when we get a chance to hang out, spend time, see others.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we are really looking forward, Alan, to what you have to say on Sunday. That's exciting. It's, you and me in all the services, right?
No.
I don't know.
No, I'm in traditional. You're contemporary.
You're in the early. I'm in the contemporary.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
I messed it up on the schedule for a little bit.
We'll all be there. Fine. Come see us.
Oh, we'll be there. Come see us. Yeah, if you come early, I'll just be hanging out, which is my most favorite thing to get to do on a Sunday. I love it.
We also get to celebrate our college graduates on Sunday.
Yeah.
Two of which
who
are on staff.
That'll be really fun.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
That's really cool. That's fun to get to do, celebrate with them. All right. Well, we will. Oh, I guess we have some other business. So we're moving into the business of the church portion of our podcast, which is in between talking about the Bible and nonsense. So we'll get to the nonsense in a minute. The business is we have a new schedule. We're transitioning. You know, as over a year ago, we had to completely halt all activities due to the COVID-19 virus. We had to start and stop in the fall, and now we are easing back towards normal. And pretty soon we're going to start what we're calling our summer schedule. And what we mean is, this is our schedule for the summer. What happens after that? We don't know yet. God will lead us. We don't know what's going to happen. I feel no shame in saying that, because look around at the world. It's really hard to know what's going forward. I'll run through it real quick. At 8:30, there's a traditional service. I believe this is going to be in the sanctuary.
Correct.
At 9:45, there's Sunday school hour. If you like a Sunday school, we will have live, in-person Sunday school, as well as options on Zoom. If you are not comfortable yet, or if you don't know anybody and you just want to check it out, that's an easy way to do it. I really like that. So 9:45, Sunday school, as well as the bilingual service in the chapel, that Founders Chapel. If you drive up on 422 Church Street, that's where you see the building. That's where the bilingual service will be. Allie is preaching that service most of the time. She's great. Come and check it out.
Yeah.
And by the way, bilingual means English and Spanish. In case you were, and you don't know us at all, and I just said bilingual, you would say, which other language are you talking about?
So yeah.
There you go. And then at 11, we have two different worship options for you. In Founders Chapel, we will have a traditional worship service that's going to be led by, most of the time, by Carly. Will be preaching in there the most. And our music director, Jason, will be leading the music in that service. So come and check that out if that sounds like something you're interested in. And then at the same time, in the big sanctuary, we will have a... I don't like calling it contemporary. We're coming up with a new name for that. It's casual. Come as you are, down home sometimes, church experience at 11. It's just a more modern and comfortable worship style. And most of the time, that will feature me preaching, I guess, as well as Josh Ingram on music. Josh Ingram and the Holy Rollers, they are worth the trip just by themselves. They're fantastic. They're going to switch from rock and roll. They've been really rock and roll for a few years. Well, we're changing out of that. We're growing, developing, adapting, listening to criticism. It's going to be more of an Americana-style worship, more acoustic. Think like if Mumford & Sons were any good. That's what it's
going to
sound like.
Wow.
Oh, come on. Yeah.
I know.
Which means, like, basically there will be a banjo, but yeah, that's about, and some, yeah, harmonies, but actual good music. Yeah. That'll be in the sanctuary. Y'all laugh, but you know I'm right. So, yeah.
I like Mumford and Sons.
Yeah,
I only know, like, three of their songs.
Bad taste in music. Prove my point. One sentence. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
As any other business we need to talk about before we...
Pentecost.
We have Pentecost coming up.
We're kicking off. I mean, that's kind of the...
That's what's
the week before
that?
The kickoff.
23rd of May.
23rd of this month.
Two services. Brunch in between. Free food. Games.
Breakfast
fun.
Tacos.
Breakfast tacos.
Music. We're going to... But the late service is going to be outside.
Yep.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I like outside service.
Yeah, outside service is fun.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully the weather cooperates.
I hope so.
We'll see.
If not, it'll be inside.
I was about to say, it's not that hard to...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we don't have a space to move to.
Yeah.
And we'll announce it, but honestly, you'll know. If it's raining, go inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, about to say. If you were raised right, you already know that. So there you go. Any other business?
I can't think of anything.
So. No, continue prayers for Pastor Travis. That's always, please keep praying for him.
They set up a Caring Bridge website, and if you type in Travis Franklin, you should be able to find stuff if you're interested in keeping up with his journey.
Yeah, there's a link to that on our website, I believe.
I think so.
I haven't checked for that. I know it was in our e-news. So.
I just went to caringbridge.com and typed in Travis Franklin.
Caringbridge.com, Travis Franklin.
Yeah, I did that too because I couldn't. I saw the link and then didn't click it that minute and then lost the link. So I just went and did the same thing.
You can sign up for notifications as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if, anyway, continue prayers for him. And that's all of our business. So we are moving into the nonsense portion of our podcast. Just fair warning. Mm-hmm. So if you think we're too silly, we put that off to the end. And now things are about to get silly. But I guess my first item, as I mentioned earlier, it's not too far out there, which is mission trip shoes. I have to put it that way because I used to, so go on a lot of trips with work, Kenya, Costa Rica, did the Holy Land tour, which is a ton of walking. And I would go on these trips like with an old pair of tennis shoes, knowing that they're going to have to be thrown away at the end. Like tennis shoes cannot survive a real mission trip. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, also, they're not always that great. Like, tennis shoes generally can't hold up if it rains a ton in Costa Rica, which it inevitably will happen, or something like that. So, I get these, and Alan has them on, too. I don't know if you got them at the outlet, but that's where I get them. I
didn't know there was an outlet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're missing out.
Uh-oh.
So, I'll tell you what I pay for them, and I get, like, the same shoe every time. And they're like $40.
Yeah, tell me where this is.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But they're like, they look like a tennis shoe, but they're waterproof.
Yeah, trail shoes.
Yeah, they're trail shoes.
So. I needed to buy some hiking shoes, so.
Field trip to the outlet.
Yeah.
The outlet's in Grand Prairie.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of selection. They're like two colors.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always able to find my size. Whenever I need them.
All right. So, good to know.
And
I did not pay $40.
Two mission trips or two tours of somewhere wherever you're going and not just one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go. I don't know. I had a pair that lasted Costa Rica a couple of times. And the only reason I threw them away because I got sand like all in them. Like, it won't come out.
No.
That's strange.
Strange?
I don't know. I just think of sand as being something that can be removed.
No, if you get enough in there.
No, yeah.
Okay.
You never can get rid of it.
There's a certain volume of sand that it ain't coming out.
All right.
Yeah. Saturated with sand.
I'm interested to know what you were doing to get that much sand in your shoes.
Making cement.
Okay. Yeah, okay. That'll do it.
So Ed Crater, who has been on the show before, and if you're a regular around here, you've known him and have seen him. He and I... Now, Ed is a... He and his wife listen, so I always get in trouble whenever I call him an older gentleman. But I don't know how else to describe him. He's in his 60s.
He's experienced.
He's a gentleman.
He wears cool hats.
He's good at everything. Some of my race car driving friends met Ed Crater, and they said, seriously, these are grown men. They said, Ed's the guy I want to be when I grow up. Like, yeah. He has all the tools. He knows all the things. He's a super cool guy. He and I were... making cement like the old manual way, which is we had to sift sand in order to get it fine enough to mix cement. And this is real actual manual labor, which means it was all I could do to just keep up with Ed physically. But not only that, but while we're doing this, he's asking me like deep theological questions. And I'm trying to answer him. And I finally just said, Ed, I can either sift sand or talk to you. I don't have the ability to do both. And frankly, like, I hope you feel good about the fact that you can do both. This is amazing. So, yeah, that's how I got a ton of sand in some shoes. But it was a great story about that I will always carry with me. It was a great time to be talking to Ed Crater, trying to sift sand and listening to his like brilliant, deep questions. Yeah. So that's why I like buying shoes for our trips or mission trips. Like the pair I'm wearing right now, they're really worn out, but I took these to Latvia and Israel. So, you know, they've
been around.
They've seen some things, and I hate to stop wearing them because those are good times, good memories. Yeah. So I recommend go to the outlet, buy yourself some Columbia trail shoes.
I second that recommendation.
Yeah. And also, I highly recommend going on a mission trip or one of our educational trips.
Which will be starting back up next year.
There's that Israel trip coming up. And we'll soon be announcing another interesting trip. I say soon. I've got a lot of work to do between now and then, but it's going to happen. Yeah. Stay tuned. Yep. I love how, like, y'all have already told me. They have. I mean, you already know you're in. But these two have said, like, wherever you're going, I want to go. So, yeah. It'll be fun.
It'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. It'll be really fun.
Do you have any nonsense to add?
I do.
Go for it.
Do you want to hear a story about Robert?
Always.
It's really the only nonsense I have, but he's so good. So at Robert's school, they have a color chart for behavior. So everybody I know.
I already love where this is going.
Everybody has a clothespin with their name on it, and if you know, if you don't, I'm going to try to explain it. It's like a paper strip with colors, and every day every kid starts on green. And depending on your choices and your behavior, you either move down yellow or red, or you can move up to blue or purple. And so purple's the top, red is call your mom. It's not been a good day. Robert has only ever gotten purple, which is not surprising because Robert only wants everyone to love him. And so he'll do anything for you to like him. So he likes to follow the rules, so his teacher loves him, and so he always gets purple. And the other day, he gets in the car, and I was like, hey, bud, like, how's school? And we're chatting, and he's like, Mom, I really hate to tell you this, but something really bad happened today. And if you know Robert, like, you can picture this pretty well. And he says, I don't know how to tell you this, but I got a yellow. And honestly, like, once a week, he gets in the car and is like, Mom, I got a red. Just kidding. Or, like, psych. Like, he makes a joke about it. And so he's like, I got a yellow. And he sounded very sincere, but he's a very good manipulator, so I wasn't sure. So I was like, oh, yeah? He was like, yeah, I don't even know how to talk to you about it. And I was like, well, like, just tell me. Because I'm waiting for the psych. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, we had a substitute. And then he just burst into tears.
Oh, no.
Big, giant tears. And I was like, okay, he's not kidding. He really got a yellow. And I was like, well, honey, I was like, it's fine to get a yellow. Like, it's okay. And his allowance is based off of his school behavior. Because, like, we don't do allowance for chores. So it's based off his school behavior. And also, if he gets all purples or blues, he gets to pick the dinner and the movie on Friday night. And that is very important to him. And so he was like, I'm not going to get to pick the movie. I was like, Robert, it's okay. Like, well, let's talk about it. And so he was like, we had a substitute. And then his, like, sad demeanor changes to very indignant. Like, he's very upset. He's like, we had a substitute. And Ellie was, and that's not her real name. He's like, Ellie is sitting across from me and she talked without raising your hand. So I said, Ellie, rule number 4, raise your hand for permission to speak or to leave the room. And then my substitute said, Robert, Ellie, no talking, go move your pin. And I was like, oh, okay. So I was like, well, I was like, I wasn't the one talking without raising my hand. Ellie was. I was like, but didn't you talk to tell Ellie? I was just telling her the rules. And I was like, I know, Robert, but that's still raising or talking without raising your hand. He's like, well, and then that substitute, she wouldn't even give me a chance to move up to purple later. And I did so many good things. And I was like, well, Robert, you know, she probably doesn't understand the color system. And he goes, yeah, well, I told her like 10 times that she was doing it wrong. And I tried to explain it to her and she just wouldn't listen to me. I was like, Robert, grownups don't really like that. Like, of course she didn't listen to you. He was so upset. It was really sad day for him. He just couldn't understand why this teacher wouldn't just take his word for it and, like, let him explain to her why she's wrong about classroom management. I felt very bad for the substitute. Poor I don't even Robert. Know who she was. But
I felt bad for the substitute.
I feel bad for Robert.
I felt bad for him, too. We decided that, because we're kind of softies, but we decided that, like, we won't count the days there's a substitute because they don't know that the system. And so he said the next day, he's like, Mom, guess what? I said, what? I told Miss Oliva, which is his real teacher, or, you know, normal teacher, I told Miss Oliva that I got a yellow yesterday, and she was shocked. And I was like, yeah, I bet she was. And she said, I'm sure there was just a misunderstanding, Robert, and you don't need to worry. And I was like, oh my gosh, your teacher. Poor teacher, too, having to, like, tell Robert, it's okay to get a yellow, when, like, she probably doesn't say that to everybody. So, yeah.
We all have bad days.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, we need a chart like that around here.
He explains it very well. He explained it all to me two Sundays ago.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yeah. Because he came up before service, and he was explaining the color chart. So, yeah, he can come talk to the next staff meeting.
I like this color chart.
About this color chart situation.
Come bring the color chart. Yeah, I like this. Going to take it to meetings.
Yeah. I might just be permanently in red.
I was about to say, I don't know where we would all fall on the color chart.
Oh, in this room, yellows and reds.
Yeah.
All the time. Well, that's a very good Robert story.
That's a great Robert story.
Very much enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What a fun day. Mm. All right. Any other nonsense?
I'm going to get on a plane for the first time in over a year in a couple weeks, so I'm excited about that.
Nice.
Yeah. Going to on a sister trip, so.
Sister and mother, right?
No, just my sisters.
Oh, I thought your mom was gone. Okay.
No. So I'm like the pseudo, I'm the oldest, so I'm like the mother figure, which means they just whine to me when they're tired. but that'll be fine. I can handle it.
So I was about to say. And how would you respond to said whining about being tired?
I'd just ignore them.
That's what I thought.
Put them on red.
Yeah,
put them on red. Take a color chart with you.
Yeah, you can bring a chart.
Make a little pocket one.
I'll just bring Robert with
just
me.
Just stitch a little pocket one.
He will be sure to tell them the rules. Robert loves to tell people when they are not following the rules. This is literally his favorite activity.
He's gonna go far in life.
I hope so.
Yeah. All right, that's pretty good. Yep. Gonna get on a plane.
Yep.
Go to Colorado.
Yeah.
Oh, did you not say that and not want to say that?
No, that's fine.
Okay, sorry.
Or someplace else fun.
Or some other state here in beautiful America. Yeah. Yeah.
No, but my sister's, so my youngest sister is in college, so this is the first time we're all quote-unquote adults and going on a trip together, so it'll be an adventure for sure.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking to my friend the other night that I went on the Great American Road Trip Part 1 mm-hmm. last year, and I didn't even think about it, but Great American Road Trip Part 2 is apparently coming up. Not on the calendar yet, but it's going to happen. And I was kind of asking if I was interested, because last time the Canadian government didn't let me through. And I said, as long as we can get on a boat, like a ferry, instead of trying to go through Canada, then I'm good with it. So that's apparently the plan.
Nice.
But again, no date at all. I hope it's not the dead of winter. Cause
you got the reverse trip
fly
this
to
time?
Alaska. Yeah, the reverse trip. Mm. Bringing home the old truck that has broken down multiple times. The giant dog that is old and has broken down multiple times. Yeah. But yeah, that first trip, that was amazing. We did that last year. That was great.
We gonna shave your head again?
No.
Oh yeah, I forgot we did that.
Yeah, you got to cut my hair.
I did. That was fun.
I remember saying to you as you're cutting my hair, we've traveled internationally. You cut my hair. We started a podcast. Our friendship is weird.
It's very weird.
Yeah. But no, I'm probably not going to do that again, because all my friends and family said, this is a bad look for you. Don't ever do this. So, yeah, it was a good. And also, Sandy, as polite and sweet as she is, she told me that more hair looked better on me. Yeah, that's how she phrased it. In the positive, of course, mm-hmm. you know, in the constructive, critical way, more hair looks better. Yeah. So, all right. Well, have fun. In a couple weeks, we'll be looking forward to hearing about that.
Yeah.
And Robert, keep the faith. Keep going, buddy. Aim for purple. Also, I'm surprised you didn't use this opportunity to troll all the Baylor fans out there looking at Alan. Because green is just average behavior.
Yeah, and purple's the best.
Purple is excellence.
Purple's uh-huh. best.
Yeah. Well, I gave you the liturgical burn, which is whenever, if you come to a traditional service, we wear stoles. They're drapes over our robes. So in case you've never been here and don't know, it's different colors for the different seasons of the calendar. And green is ordinary time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas purple is Lent, the season leading up to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So
those are just facts.
The most important season to our faith.
Yeah.
Whereas green is
ordinary.
Ordinary. Yeah.
Thanks for that.
I can't wait for you to say that to Charlie Jackson's face. Like I'm waiting for.
Perhaps already have.
Oh man, can you say it again?
I will. I will.
Just
it never gets
yourself.
Old. It never gets old.
We graduate from Baylor. He has to have things repeated to him.
I did mention Baylor fans.
I don't even care. I don't have a dog in this fight at all. In fact, I'm the one who makes all these alum quite angry when I say, you know, both of your schools are very similar.
Yeah.
Like they're a lot alike.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your fans are a lot alike.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Anyway. We own that.
All right. Well, I think that's everything that we have to cover. We really appreciate your time, and we hope to see you soon. Again, if you've got questions or something on your mind, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. We hope you have a great week, and until we see you again, will someone sign us off?
Go everywhere and eat everything.
Oh, good job, Carly.
Thank you.
Did not expect it to be you.
Yeah, I know. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Tell everyone.